preaching the good news or the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the good news, or believe the gospel. It's interesting because Jesus has just heard that his predecessor, his forerunner, the man that introduced the Jews to Jesus' ministry, was just put in prison. And you'd think, well, he's probably going to go around and say, oh, let me tell you the sad news. Let me tell you what just happened to me. Oh, no, my friend John just got put in prison. But he didn't preach that. Because I have good news. I have the good news of the kingdom. And when I give you the information about the kingdom, part of the good news is that you can repent and you can believe the good news or the message I'm preaching. And that's, the Bible says, that's good news. The gospel message. If you met Jesus, then how's your day? I don't think he would probably tell you about John being in prison. He's going to begin, let me tell you about the kingdom. I have good news. Good news to share. His Jesus message was one of hope. It was one of encouragement and optimism, not only for this life, but eternal life. So I've listed in your notes some things that the Bible mentions about good news. Good news of the Bible. And that is for us. Number one, what does the good news of the Bible do for us? In Proverbs 15, verse 30, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. I have good news for you. Everyone is going to leave here 10 pounds heavier. That's not what's going to happen when you hear the good news. The proverb is not speaking about physical fatness. It's always good news when you receive a message that you can be comforted. Or there's good news that will lift us up. Or there's good news that's encouraging. Or there's good news that solves a problem that we've been puzzled about. And that's what the proverb is speaking about. I have good news. It's going to brighten your eyes. I have good news. It will gladden your heart. So Solomon is speaking about good news that strengthens us. It puts fat on the bones. Good news of the gospel strengthens us. When Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong. He said, in other words, when he said be strong, I have some news that will strengthen you, that will put spiritual fat on your bones, that will brighten your eyes. I have news that will gladden your heart. It's strengthening news. And so he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because sometimes my power and my might fall short. Paul said, I have good news. Brian, you don't have to conquer sin and temptation by yourself. You can be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Oh, thank you. I don't have to struggle through it by myself. No, I have good news, Paul says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Good news. Good news. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby or gain strength in your life. Good news. We don't just come into life and just kind of sit here. No, there's physical food for our physical bodies, there's spiritual food for our spiritual bodies. Good news. That God's word strengthens us. If we'll just believe it. Jesus, I'm going to preach it, and I want you to believe. Good. Number two, Proverbs 25, verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul. Like a when you're thirsty or you're parched, dry mouth, there's one desire: cool water. Why have good news? The good news of the gospel is a refreshing drink of water when you're spiritually thirsty. If you're spiritually thirsty, think, is there anything that satisfies that? Yes, there is. I have good news. In Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Good news, they shall be filled. Don't just say, "Oh, bless the, oh, there's a blessing out there if you just kind of have a smattering of interest in God." No. If you hunger, third, the illustration is for someone that is thirsty. Don't just say, "Oh, I'd like a drink." No, I'm thirsty. Can you tell me where there's cool water? Jesus says on the spiritual side of life, yes, I want to get right with God. I have good news. I'd like to have my sins forgiven. I have good news. I'd like to have some satisfaction for my soul. I have good news. Jesus met a woman at the well. You know, she's dipping physical water. And the gospel is not just a quick fix. In Matthew, or in John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." You know, the water of a woman has, dipping that physical water out of the well. You drink that water, you're going to be back here tomorrow, aren't you? Oh, yeah. You'll be thirsty again tomorrow. But he said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Good news. Good news. In verse 10 of John chapter 4, Jesus referred to this water as living water. When the woman hears that in verse 13, she says, "Give me this water. I'd like some of that." That's what the gospel should do for us. Satisfy our spiritual thirst for God. It's good news. In Psalm 42, beginning of verse 1, "As the hart," or "as the deer, pants for the water," or "pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." I have good news. If your soul is thirsting for God, God has revealed himself in his word so that you may read and believe and obey and have that thirst satisfied. Have good news. Number 3 in your notes. From the scripture reading that was given this morning, in Isaiah in chapter 61, verse 1, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because, why is the Spirit of the Lord upon you, Isaiah? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. Oh, I like to hear good news. What do you have in mind, Isaiah? What do you have to say? Tell me the good news. Unto the afflicted. He's anointed me to preach good news to the afflicted. You see, when you're afflicted, on sad faith. If you're afflicted, you need lifting up, encouraged. I want to hear some good news. But wasn't it good news when they came in and said you could go home from that nursing home? I think that when I walked in, I didn't have a chance to even say, "Hi, Buck, how you doing?" He said, "Brian, I have good news." He couldn't wait to share it. Yep. That's the way it is in life. Isaiah said, I have some good news. You see, in prophetic language, he's revealing the good news that God, through his Son, or what God is going to do through his Son in the New Testament, it's the good news of salvation. It was, and it was true that in their captivity in Babylon resulted from their sin. And they were wondering, here we're held here, is there any good news for us? No, this other army's overtaken us. I'm afflicted. I need some good news. Isaiah said, I have it. I have it. But it would be on God's timetable. Isaiah said, I have good news, but it's not going to happen right now. Verse 1, he said, here's part of my good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. The Israelites were brokenhearted because of their sins. Whatever breaks your heart should bend your knee. The idea that bend your knee so that you pray to God for help in time of need. If it breaks your heart, it should bend your knee. That's what's happening to Israel. Our sins have broken our hearts. God didn't take away the consequences, but he gave them some good news. It was the good news of the gospel that is for us today that's going to heal hearts that have been broken by sin. So I violated or transgressed God's law, and I'm sorry for that. And I grieve in my heart, and I'm sorry, I'm sin sick. Is there anything that's available for me? Any salve for my wound? Remember when the Bible introduces Jesus, Matthew 1 verse 21. She, meaning Mary, shall bring forth a son. He'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Without sin. Is there anything available? Yes. God sends a son so that I can have relief from my sins. That he's going to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm sorry, I did that. Anything available? Yes. God provides salvation through his son. Also in verse 1, Isaiah preaches good tidings. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, the gospel, the good news, answers that situation. In John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth, gospel, shall set you free. What sin binds on us and the grip that sin has on us and the goal that sin has on us, the gospel can free us from that. That we don't have to have that grip. Sin's goal doesn't have to dominate us. And the guilt that we feel doesn't have to remain in our lives. The gospel gives good news. He sets free what sin has kept. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, God be thanked. Why? Why should we thank God? He says that ye were servants of sin. Ooh, that's not good. You were servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Oh, that's good news. Oh, I'm silent. I was a servant of sin. Oh, sad face. But he obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered from you, now being then made free from sin, he became the servant of righteousness. Goodness. Free from sin. Free from being a servant of sin. To a servant of righteousness. The next thing that Isaiah preaches about good tidings in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's not going to tell them the precise time of day. That's not what he's saying, but he's going to, I'll tell you the era. And Jesus introduced it in our text. Remember in Mark chapter 1, at the top of your page? The time is fulfilled. Oh, wait a minute, that's what Isaiah said. There will be an acceptable time of the Lord. So on God's timetable, now here Jesus is beginning his ministry. He says, you know what? The time is fulfilled. I have good news. Remember what Isaiah said 500 years ago? Now, good news right now. It's acceptable time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even in Galatians chapter 4, Paul said, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born under woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Oh, good news. Good news. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Also in verse 2, another item that Isaiah mentions, to comfort all that mourn. And Jesus mentions that in his Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed. God, good news. It's a blessing. Good news. There's a blessing for you that mourn. For you shall be comforted. You'll be comforted in two ways. From the good news. First of all, there's comfort for your sins. I have good news. You mourn for your sins. Oh, I grieve. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, my past is horrible. Oh, I just think about what I've done. It just saddens my face. Whoa, wait a minute. I mourn because of what I've done. How many people I've hurt. Oh, I mourn for that. Is there any comfort? Jesus says, oh yeah, there's a blessing. When you mourn for your sins, you can be comforted. When we mourn for our sins, God did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He provided forgiveness. That's good news. There's a second comfort involved in this. Sometimes we mourn the loss of loved ones. And we have sad eyes at the funerals. We wonder, is there any good news? Is there any comfort when we mourn the loss of loved ones? The answer is yes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I didn't put that in the notes, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, the verses previous to that, Paul gives instruction about those who have passed on and what's going to happen to them. And then at the very end, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's words of comfort in knowing that there was a resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. Paul gives instruction about that. There's comfort. So when we mourn our sins, God says, I sent my Son to die for your sins. When we mourn the loss of loved ones, the message is God raised his Son from the grave. It gives us hope. So we mourn for our sins, we mourn for the loss of loved ones, but there's comfort in both situations. Isaiah told about that time coming. He also said to give them beauty for ashes. That's good news. Under the New Testament, the ugliness of ashes may be replaced with the beauty of forgiveness. See, in the Old Testament, sometimes when people grieve for their sins, they would tear their clothes and cover themselves in ashes, just rub themselves with ashes to show how sorry they were for their sins. So with that illustration, Isaiah says, you know, the time is going to come that I'm going to take away the ugliness of ashes. The ashes weren't pretty when they did that. They literally made themselves physically ugly to show their sorry for sins. Isaiah says, the time is coming. I'm going to replace those ugly ashes for the beauty of forgiveness. That's good news. That's good news. Instead of ashes, he said in the closing verses of the chapter, we're going to be wearing garlands of celebration. Good news. Instead of fainting, we're going to wear garments of praise to the God who redeemed us. Good news. Instead of no hope, the heart is going to reap in joy. That's good news. Instead of instability, we're going to be trees planted by the water. Unmoved. That's good news. God is going to give us beauty for ashes. The last one I have mentioned to you in your notes is in Mark chapter 16, verse 50, beginning verse 15. Just before Jesus ascends back to the Father, this is after his resurrection, 40 days after his resurrection. And Jesus gathers his disciples on the mountain. And he said to them, here's my parting words. Said to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel or good news to every creature. Don't leave anyone out. I have good news for a world of people. Everybody, everywhere needs to receive this good news. No matter what you've done, no matter how horrible the crimes, I have good news. Disciples, you don't leave anybody out. You don't go just to what you think are the good neighborhoods. You go everywhere. You preach this gospel to every creature. For some people, they go, I'm too bad to be saved or to be forgiven. No, no, no. Jesus said, starting with you, then right here with me, before I ascend back to the Father, you go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature. Good news. He that believes your message, the good news, the gospel concerning the kingdom of heaven, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Every creature has that opportunity. Every creature. We have a good news message for a world of people. A salvation message. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, says, I am the way, not a way among many. I have good news. There is one way. You don't have to be upset and worried. I don't know which way. Oh, no. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, oh, I'm one among many. No, I am the way. That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Oh, I like this philosopher over here. Yeah, but he's not going to give you a message that gets you to heaven. Oh, but I like this guru. Oh, my. Well, I like what this committee said over here. Well, I like what my best friend said. I like what my counselor said. No, no, no. I like what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, not a truth among many. I am the truth. You go to the psychology section in your public library, and you're going to, or Barnes and Noble, you're going to see books from ceiling to floor and from wall to wall on how to live your life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. No man, nobody comes to me or to the Father but by me. That leaves out all the gurus, all the committees, all the counselors, everybody. If you want to get to God, you come to Him through Jesus. The one way. I have good news. Doesn't that eliminate a lot of things? You know, well, I've always been taught, I thought this guy sounded pretty good. No, it's easy. I have good news. You only have to listen to one person. Good news. In Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? Someone says, oh, you just need to call upon the Lord. Well, you haven't heard about the Lord. How can you call on someone you haven't believed in? Then how can they believe in someone you haven't heard about? So you have to hear good news, the gospel, and then believe it. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Don't you go to that library section over there. You go to the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said that you'll die in your sins, for except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Some people say, all you have to do is believe. How can you believe in someone you've not heard? You have to hear, don't you? Someone says, believe only, put that word only on there. No, you have to hear, don't you? And then you have to believe what you hear. The Bible message. Then Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all in like manner perish. Repent or perish. No, we added something else to the formula for the myth. That's good news. That's a plan. Someone says, well, I don't know how to... What to do? Here it is. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian. Came to a certain water. He said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Don't just stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot to stand still. Commanded it. Stop the chariot. Both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. You see a plan or steps or formula here that easily should be easily understood. It eliminates all the confusion. You say, well, I want to believe in God, but God, I know you want to believe, but how can you believe in somebody you haven't heard about? So read the Bible. God reveals information about himself and his son Jesus. So you have to hear and you have to believe. Well, Jesus himself said you have to repent too. Now we have a third item. and then Philip preaching the good news concerning Jesus in Ethiopia. He says, I want to be baptized, but Philip said, if you believe, you may. So now he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed his faith, not his sin. Confessed his faith, and I can be baptized. Number five. That's the plan. I have good news. That's the invitation we extend every time we assemble together. A good news invitation. Whosoever will may come. You want to follow those simple steps.